Coming up on the program, we really want to get your all of your views on this mess and how we get out of it, how we clean this up at 239-1310, 239-1310. You can send me an email at praiseindy.com or a text message at 37890, keyword Amos. Coming up in the program, we'll hear from a couple of school leaders, one on the charter side, one on the traditional public side, and their reactions to all of this, and more importantly, how are their staffs dealing with this? Because ISTEP, technically, schools could start giving the test 2 weeks from yesterday, on the 25th. 25th or 23rd, even I'm confused. And that's part of the problem, this confusion. So to kind of start us out and put it in perspective, we reached out to one of the veteran education reporters in our state. Scott Elliott is a veteran education reporter. He has covered education in a number of places across the country. He is the editor of Chalkbeat Indiana. That is a daily newsletter that covers all things education online at inchalkbeat.org. He's been covering all this mess, and he joins me live. Scott, how you doing?
Good, doing very good. In fact, I wanted to say, if there are any movie producers listening to the program, I am willing to sell my story.
There you go. This obviously didn't just start with the governor saying this test is too long. I'm issuing an executive order and hiring a consultant to make recommendations to shorten it. When did people really start finding out this test was going to be longer?
So that's a great question. This is a long story with many twists and turns, as you stated at the beginning. But this very specific question of, like, how recently did we find out this test was going to be this long? Apparently fairly recently. So Glenda Ritz's spokesman said yesterday they found out in January. He said he thought late January. He didn't have exact date that the test was going to be this long. They were surprised by it. They informed the state board shortly thereafter. So the state board found out about it the last week of January. So we're only talking about a couple of weeks here when the broad realization came upon Indiana that this test was going to be really long.
Let's go back to why we have to have a different test to begin with. When Indiana decided that they were uncomfortable with Common Core, which had already been signed off on by the Daniels administration, by Dr. Tony Bennett when he was superintendent of public instruction, is it fair to say that once the governor and once members of the legislature started to get nervous about Common Core, that kind of started laying the groundwork of where we are today?
Yeah, well, so I was actually talking with the Indy Star's Tom LoBianco today, and I reminded him something that a lot of people have forgotten, which is the very first shot in this battle over the state test was fired by Mike Pence not long after he took office. It was Mike Pence who ordered Indiana out of the PARC test. So,
that's the fancy name for Common Core.
Right. It was one of the two tests that was being developed to connect to the Common Core standards. So before we even got into the debate in Indiana about whether or not we should follow Common Core standards that other states were following, Mike Pence himself made the decision, well, we're certainly not going to take that test. So that's actually the moment when we had to start figuring out what we're going to do for a test. Now, what came after that, as you alluded to, was a broader pushback among folks in the legislature about whether we should be following Common Core standards are creating our own. People forget that Mike Pence and Glenda Ritz both totally agreed that Indiana should create its own standards. They together endorsed the standards that were ultimately improved, both of them. Mm-hmm. So that was about April last year. Right. So about a year ago, we knew we were going to need a new test and we were going to need it in a hurry. So that's how we started to get down this road.
And at some point, I know at the State Board of Education level, and I think at one of the last meetings of the Education Roundtable before somebody decided us in the Roundtable didn't need to meet anymore, there was talk about can we get out of giving any kind of ISTEP test this year, the year that the standards would be implemented, to give everybody time to adjust or just call it a practice test and the scores wouldn't count, quote unquote.
Yeah, so that's an interesting problem, too. So one idea for how to solve this problem was to turn to the U.S. Department of Education. Indiana has an agreement with them that we were going to change our standards to make them a little tougher, and part of that was changing the test. So So one idea was to say, hey, how about if you guys give us an extra year to create this test? So we'll keep using the old ICE test, ISTEP test for 1 year, then we can create a new test for 2016. So now the Department of Ed was putting a lot of blame on the U.S. Department of Ed yesterday and saying, like, well, they wouldn't let us do that. Well, the interesting thing is if you talk to the U.S. Department of Ed people, put yourself in their shoes for a minute, their attitude toward Indiana is like, look, you and a bunch of other states said you were going to have a new test by 2015 and new standards. You guys were the ones who decided at the last minute to change your standards and change your test. Why should we let you out of it just because you went off the rails, in essence? So that's part of the reason why the state was not allowed to just keep using ISTEP for one more year. The U.S. Department of Ed said, nope, got to be a new test with the new standards in 2015, as you promised to do years ago.
So then, and I didn't realize this till the other day, in developing this new test, they evidently, these McGraw-Hill people, the people that screwed up the test a couple years ago, they're adding new questions that have never been used before, but nobody's sure, and these are questions designed to be really for next year, but they're using them to test whether they work.
Yes, so that's part of the way a standardized test is created. Mm-hmm. When you sit down to take any test, whether it's the ISTEP or the SAT or the ACT, all the questions on that test have been tried out before. So whenever you're taking, let's just take the SAT as an example. Okay. When the students sit down to take the SAT this month, they will take a test of which most of the questions count, and a small number are being tried out for a future test. So what the SAT test makers do is they take the results of those questions and they analyze them to see how they did. Like, oh, wow, that turned out to be a lot harder question than we thought. Or, oh, that question is much easier than we thought. Or, oh, people seem to get confused by it or whatever. So they use that to learn and to recraft that question to use on a later test.
So you're telling me all these high school students that go and take the SAT test, some of the questions they take aren't going to count because they're really test questions for down the road?
That's true on almost every standardized test that you'll take. So whether it's ISTEP or the SAT or the Iowa Test of Basic Skills, all those tests, the way they create those tests is they have to try out some questions the year before. So the problem we've got here in Indiana, one of the things making the test longer is we need a whole new test next year, but with a whole big set of new questions, right? None of which have been tested. So they're testing a bunch of questions that don't count this year as part of this test.
Is there any reason from a research standpoint or an education standpoint why they couldn't pick out of the million plus students in Indiana, why they couldn't have picked 100,000 randomly across the state and said, hey, such a deal we have for you. You're going to test this test, and in return, you get a ticket to Santa Claus, Indiana or something.
That's an interesting question. I'm not sure. I think that I know there's a lot of complicated factors that go into how they do this test creation. One thing is, like, they want to make sure that the test feels real to the kids. The problem that they sometimes have is if you give the kids a test and there's no reason for them to care about it, they don't do their best on it, you know. Right. So that may be a factor, but that's a little bit out of my league. I think that's the kind of question that we probably ought to be asking CTB right now.
So while we were here talking, just got an email from the governor's office where they're saying some guy named Edward Rober is the consultant who's only going to make $22,000 for, I don't know whether it's 1 week or 2 weeks work, which doesn't sound like a big amount for a consultant. See, to me, if this is an emergency, if I'm the consultant, I'm asking for $100, but that's neither here nor there. But I can't tell. Evidently, he's an independent consultant, including the Michigan Assessment Consortium, where he serves as assessment director. He's done work at Michigan State's College of Education. It looked like he's somebody that's done stuff in Michigan. You ever heard of this guy?
I have not heard of him. Based on what you've read me of his resume, there are a lot of, so first of all, you'll love this word if you probably already know it, but the actual word for a scientist who does test creation is a psychometrician. one of my all time favorite words.
Psychometrician.
Yeah, so it sounds like he may be a psychometrician, someone who's an expert in test building, because usually folks with that kind of job title end up on those state technical committees. Sounds like he's on the state committee. Every state pretty much has a committee of experts, of psychometricians, who help them build and evaluate their tests, make sure that they're doing everything scientifically correctly. So that sounds like the right kind of expert to call in.
He's a Michigan man. All of his degrees, his bachelor's in psychology, his master's in educational psychology, and his doctorate in measurement and evaluation are from the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor.
Those are impressive credentials, okay. So he sounds legit.
We need to ask him, does he have season tickets to see the Wolverines? But that's, so here's the other problem. I'm willing to bet you the actual written parts of the test have arrived at the schools and they're locked up in a safe somewhere.
Let me think here. Usually they can arrive, your tests will usually arrive up to 10 days before the exam.
Not yet. Yeah.
So just about. So, but I mean, like today, it's the 25th that they start. Today's the 10th. So literally within 5 days, if everything was on schedule, some schools could start receiving tests as soon as then. So, I mean, what you're getting at here is a really big question that no one knows the answer to, which is, how can we do this in such a short time frame? That's something that we're going to have to figure out in a hurry.
Is it also the way you shorten it is to shorten part two, which doesn't start until April 27th, runs April 27th to about May 15th, and you shorten that part of it and not shorten the first part, which starts theoretically February 25th through March 20th?
That could be, and you know, an interesting thing that came from the governor's press conference yesterday was he had some suggestions for how to shorten it. He said take out some additional stuff that was put into the social studies test to make that test shorter, and he also suggested taking out a portion that's evaluating reading. Mm-hmm. That was an interesting thing to come up because, as you probably remember, Amos, Glenda Ritz is a reading expert and has long argued that we should change the state test so that they give teachers some sense of his child's reading level. She would like the test to give teachers a numerical reading level, like a Lexile number that sometimes teachers use. So no one's clear on what that reading section is that they're talking about, but I'm wondering if maybe that was included because that's something that Glenda Ritz would like to see. We don't know that yet.
How much does politics play in all of this, or is that the driver?
It's certainly a big factor. I mean, like, you know, this is something else I was saying when I was talking to Tom LoBianco today. I said, you know, one of the bizarre ironies of this debate is Glenda Ritz got into the race against Tony Bennett primarily because she did not like the third grade reading test. To her, that was sort of like the straw that broke the camel's back. No more testing. This is too much. I'm running against this guy. Okay. Hmm. So the anti-testing state superintendent is bizarrely in this position of defending a twice as long ISTEP test against the governor, who is generally thought of as being in favor of standards and testing as like a primary way of school accountability. That's a little weird and backwards, and that is about politics.
We're with Scott Elliott of Chalkbeat, Indiana. Any sense, and I talked to a longtime Democratic activist who was involved in helping Glenda Ritz in her campaign, you know, back in 2012. And I can't understand why no one in the Department of Education recognized the problem. In other words, as they were building this test, why somebody didn't say, A, the test shouldn't be more than 50% longer than what we've done before. And when it started crossing twice as long, somebody should have raised a red flag and said, this is not going to work.
Yeah, that's a really fair question that the Ritz team has yet to answer. So, interestingly, in that ridiculously long state board meeting that we went to last week that went 10.5 hours, this was one of the last agenda items. They did talk about testing. And Dan Elsner from the state board got very short with Glenda Ritz in saying, they were asking about this question about the length of the test. And he said, did you call anybody at CTV and ask them about this? And Glenda said, I myself have not. My staff has talked to them. And he got very aggressive in saying, will you make a commitment to me right now that you personally will call them and get some answers? And Glenda said, of course I will. So that was an interesting detail. You know, if in fact you're the state superintendent and the test does in fact come back, let's say twice as long as what you thought, you would think that maybe she would have called directly and tried to get some answers, but that did not happen. And I think there's some questions about why.
The other part in all of this is in the literature that the Department of Education has put out. You know, they've talked about how difficult this test is going to be. Do we know how hard? I mean, there are sample questions out, and I think people that have seen some of the sample questions are concerned. As you have looked at the sample questions and talked to others, how hard is this thing? Is this going to be a train wreck when the results occur?
I think it's definitely a good bit harder than the prior ISTEPs, and part of that is because the expectations of the new standards are a little higher. For instance, you know, it's no longer to just sort of good enough to just sort of read an essay and like summarize the main points. Like they want you to do some level of critical analysis, for instance, of an essay. So there's those sorts of changes, which is a higher expectation. But then another big factor here is that these are supposed to be sort of new generation tests using, they're all done online. So you can use, online, the ability to manipulate things online differently. So there are some areas where you're supposed to click and grab things and drop them in certain places and stuff like that. So the difficulty is both in the quality, the level of the content and the fact that kids have not really tried this sort of new sophisticated style of testing. Both of those things are likely to depress the scores for a couple of years. And what we've seen in other states that have gone to college and career ready level tests and use these testing technologies, generally we do see lower test scores at least for a few years.
What should parents and grandparents be doing? Because obviously there's a lot of publicity. Kids are going to hear this. They're going to detect vibes and not necessarily positive vibes. What should parents and grandparents be doing leading up to this?
That's a really good question, and one I think that tends to get lost in the politics and some of the fighting. But, you know, I mean, I think I would first thing I would do is, you know, reassure children that it doesn't really matter what kind of test they put in front of you. You know, I mean, you do your best, and your level of knowledge and the work that you put in school, like, there will be a reward for that. Just do your best on the test. And also, like, everyone should not get too worried about what any one year's test result says, whether it says something about your state or your school or your child. Like in 1 year can be a big difference to the next year. So yeah, this might be a year where everybody's numbers are down a little bit, but next year maybe they'll bump up as people get used to the new test. So those would be the main messages in terms of parents and their own children. And then the other thing I would say is, you know, listen to the Amos show, read coffee, read the local newspapers and pay attention to this debate. Because as you started off the show saying, this really does matter. It matters to your family.
Is the other political fight going to occur, whatever? So let's just say for the sake of the argument, they figure out a way to shorten some of the length of the test. They give ISTEP tests to the third through the eighth graders. Then they get the results back sometime this summer. And then they've got some committee will decide what the passing grades are. And then two groups, as I remember, two groups have to vote on that. The round table, which the governor and I think the superintendent, neither of which want to really engage in even using the round table as a place to bounce ideas off of. And then it goes back to the state board. Is that the next fight over what should the passing grade be?
Yes. Well, and I think that debate will get here sooner. You know, Glenda Ritz's proposed solution. The governor said this in his press conference.
Yeah.
She and the governor met last week, which is kind of interesting. And, they both reported that it was a cordial and productive conversation, although they then came out this week and have been very critical of each other. But, one of the things the governor said was that, Glenda Ritz's idea was to just give everybody a pass on their grades for this year, you know, given the fact that the test is different and longer and all these other factors. Pence made it clear that that's not what he wants to do. He wants to test the count. He would rather figure out a way to make it shorter, more palatable, but still count the grades. So I think that question is going to be part of this debate right away.
In terms of, yeah, because, you know, I've not seen any state that's introduced a harder standardized statewide test and grades go up. You know, so they're going to go down. And it's just a question of how that's going to react. Did we lose Scott? Probably the testing company was tapping the phone. 239-1310, 239-1310. You may want to weigh in on all of this because all of this mess, affects our kids. They affect our young people. And, you know, in many schools, you know, the students have had trouble passing the I-step that we've had for the last several years. So how in the world, and I think Scott's coming back in, you know, on the live line, how in the world are they going to do better, at a more difficult, test? And I think we got Scott back, on the line. Scott, you with us?
Sorry, I don't know what happened there.
Oh, we figured it was McGraw-Hill tapping into the system. Superintendent of IPS, Dr. Louis Farabee, sent out a tweet saying, you know, postpone the results for a year. That, because he has a lot to lose, if these scores count.
Yeah, well, you know, if you're someone like Louis Farabee and you've got schools you're very worried about that have had multiple years to have that face the possibility of, you know, state takeover or other kind of state intervention, it is pretty worrisome. I mean, like, you know, if I'm Louis Farabee and, you know, there's a school that, you know, is legitimately in need of some kind of intervention, that's one thing. But if I think that the school ended up on the list because they weirdly got an F when maybe they should have got a better grade because we had a down year in test scores, that bothers me. I'm worried about that. That's probably part of his thinking.
Should he also be worried because there's legislation that's moving through the legislature that could start triggers against entire school districts based upon performance, and the results of these tests could count against school systems, both rural and urban?
Yes, and there's also a bill in the legislature that would shorten the amount of time it takes to get into state takeover from 6 years of F. 4 years of that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of effort underway to sort of speed up accountability in the state house. So as you're saying, all those things would worry me if I was in Louis Farabee's shoes, and I would be particularly worried. Like, you know, it's one thing to like intervene with a school because I've tried as a superintendent to fix it and I can't show you that I've done it. It's another thing where we're not sure if what happened was I didn't fix it or it just didn't show up in the test results due to quirks.
Scott Elliott with Chalkbeat, Indiana. I understand the Department of Education, they're giving a press briefing at 3:00. Do you all know whether Superintendent Ritz is going to be there?
I don't think so. I think this is their staff trying to, I'm very glad they're having this. They're trying to sort of explain some of the background and hopefully give us some of the details and answers that was very difficult for them to come up with on the fly. I think they were pretty caught off guard by the governor's actions yesterday and how aggressively he moved on this.
All right, Scott Elliott with Chalkbeat, Indiana. That's in.chalkbeat.org. And to get there, I can't think I'd write that right. Thanks very much for being with us. When we come back, we'll get more reaction to this. We'll talk to the folks over at Tinley. You know, Tinley's a school that has high standards. How are they dealing with all of this I-step situation and preparing for that? We'll also, in our 2:00 hour, talk to the superintendent at the Lawrence Township Schools. How are they dealing? This is a pretty good school system. How are they dealing with all of this mess? It's I-step mess. It affects our kids and grandkids. Everybody. What we gonna do about it is a lot of people responsible for this mess, not just one lady. It's Afternoons with Amos after these.